So here's a picture of Lent. See if it works. The scriptures situate us with Christ during Lent. The church asks us to do acts of penance, almsgiving, prayer, and what's the other one? Good. Fasting. I knew that. And it seems to me both of those, the Word of God and the way that what we're asked to do and what, you know, what we choose to do during Lent, what is more interesting is failure. Does anyone make it through all 6 weeks of Lent with prayer or almsgiving or fasting? I sure as heck don't. Because I find, not just because, but I find it interesting to have my life opened up for me in this way, that I learn about why and how I choose to let go of those things. I hate to fast. It reveals the hunger in my life to be filled and fulfilled at every juncture in my inner demand to take. So I'm situated with Christ as one who is hungry. And with almsgiving, it opens up for me the sense of greed. I will only give so much and no more. I don't have enough, so I'm gonna go to that point and not go further. So it opens up for me and situates me with Christ in my inner emptiness. And in prayer, it's much like hunger. I not only want, but expect that when I sit down and to pray, the angels will be singing and everything will be sunny and beautiful and I'll just be going, oh, this is so cool. About 98-99% of prayer is not that, is it? And so frustrated with not being filled or fulfilled, I stop. Go find something else that fills or fulfills me. Does that make sense? So I invite you to recognize what you might learn from, quotes, failure, because that's the way we deem it. Now, I think this fits. What was Jesus' first temptation? Command these stones to be bread. It's not magic. It's not, this is my impression, it's not about, okay, I'll pull out my God card and make this dang thing, this little stone, which if I eat, I'll have to go to see the dentist. If I eat the stone or I'll get upset stomach, make that be something nourishing. It seems to me that the fundamental human condition prompts us to try to make something be what it isn't, or someone be what they're not. For example, food. Food is a great thing. We can enjoy it and all that stuff. And some of us use that to hold off grief, to hold off sadness or anger. So we numb out and don't feel those deeper things that prompt us to make food be something it isn't, a remedy for anxiety or resentment or loss. Or alcohol is a nice thing, wine or beer or a nice single malt scotch. It's wonderful. And some of us can use it to help us not feel the pain of our lives. And it's not meant to do that. Alcohol's like the stone that we try to make into bread. And it's the same thing with shopping and sex and gambling and other people. This other person or these people should, on the one hand, like food, fill me up, and I should be happy and blessed all the time. And they should do and think whatever I do and think, and be a mirror back to me of my greatness. And that don't happen, does it? It's in our disappointment that we recognize how we try to make someone be what they're not. This other person, this other group, this other whatever, they're just who they are, creatures of God and wonderful and gracious and lovely and tremendous. And when they oppose our will, when they do something that threatens our sense of this is the way things should be, often enough we get aggressive. That's just the way it is. That's the human condition. We try to make a stone become bread because of our woundedness and because we're just looking to say, God, how do I make it in this world? So, for my part, just invite you to think about how might any of us learn from our, quotes, failures. Because as we bring that part of our lives that is vulnerable or empty or hurt or whatever, as we bring that to the light, we do our part with God to make it available. Now, see if this works too. It's the way we talk about the Eucharist is important. Transubstantiation, Council of Trent said, it's the best way of putting this. It's not a doctrine. It says, this is the best way, optissime, the best way of understanding what goes on. And what the deal is, it's that the bread itself is transformed into Christ. We bring the bread in the procession so that it be transformed into Christ. As we bring those parts of our lives that might get uncovered during Lent, as we bring them into the light, it's that gradual, I believe, transformation, because we make that part of our lives available to our sight and to God, like we do at the procession, an offering. So, happy Lent. Perhaps the season can be joyous as we discover how Christ already dwells with us in that wilderness we don't want to go to. So would you think about this? What is it that the Lord is revealing to you already about your journey with the Lord this Lenten season?